Enjoy your day. I know you're enjoying every moment of it down there. I'm somewhat
I'm
jealous.
trying to trying to absorb it all.
Absolutely. This is Science Studio, Artemis 2, Day 3. We're recording this program on the 3rd of April, 2026. Hello, everybody. This is Keith Pannell, and welcome back to this special program, Science Studio Artemis 2. We are talking every day to Professor Jose Hurtado from the Department of Geological Sciences, who's part of the science team down there in the Houston Center for NASA. Jose, hi. How are you?
Hey, Keith. Doing well. Glad to be with you again. It was a great day yesterday.
Yes, absolutely. It was a key day. I could have gone in a different direction, I gather, because obviously coming back out of the single big loop of the Earth, and then a decision has to be made. Do we do something different, or do we now go to the moon? How was that decision made, and what actually happened?
Yeah, there's a lot of decision making to be made. So ultimately, it's up to the flight director and then a group of people called the mission management team. So they collectively decide on whether the vehicle and the crew is ready for this translunar injection burn, the firing of the rocket engine to send them on the way past the moon. And so that decision process was made yesterday. Everything looked good. And yeah, they decided to go for it, and they're on their way.
So what actually happens? Who does what? There's two major people here in terms of what is in charge inside the spacecraft, a commander and a pilot. Tell us about the distinction between the two. What are the different roles of the commander and the pilot?
Well, I should say that all the crew members are, you know, cross-trained to some extent, right? So they can pretty much fill in for each other for many of the tasks. With the commander's role, that's Reid Wiseman, he's in charge of the whole mission, right? So the crew is his responsibility ultimately, the vehicle, sort of the decision-making is ultimately falls to him. The pilot of the mission, Victor Glover, is he actually sort of took control of Orion just the day before yesterday, right after launch, to do this docking practice maneuvering. So between the two of them, they do a lot of sort of the flying of the spacecraft. And then their crewmates, Jeremy Hansen and Christina Cook, they're the mission specialists. You know, they do a lot of technical tasks as well. You know, collectively, you know, they need all four folks to run that ship.
Well, we've got questions that people have called in and said, would you please ask Jose the following question? What's the adjustment time that it takes for a crew member to get adjusted to being up there in zero gravity?
Oh, that's a great question. I wish I had firsthand experience in this, but from what I've read, from what I know, most crew members adjust within a day, maybe a day or two. Some, you know, don't really need much adjustment at all. Yeah, hopefully one day the person who asked that question might experience it for themselves.
That's great. And so, you know, not everybody will react the same way. That's the bottom line there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of unpredictable from what I gather.
And the other question was actually from one of my grandchildren. And I think I know the answer, but I want to hear it from the definitive person here. Why is it that the capsule, the space capsule, is going so far past the moon such that they're really going to be very close to the moon? What's the objective that says we're not going to go close to the moon to get a good vision? We're going to have it such like, I think I read, a basketball held at one arm's length. Why?
Yeah, that's right. It has to do with sort of the trajectory that they're on. You know, in order to do this free return trajectory, which means that once they fired the engine yesterday, they don't really have to do anything again except for small corrections, and they'll automatically get slingshotted back to Earth. So because of that, you know, there are kind of limitations on how far from the moon or how close to the moon they can get in order to achieve that. During Apollo and during the Artemis 1 mission that flew a few years ago, those missions went actually into orbit around the moon and stayed there for a number of orbits. And so they could get lower. And we'll be doing that, you know, for subsequent Artemis missions. So this is kind of a unique thing for this mission. But what's good is that they're going to get a view that is kind of unique. The crew is going to see the entire disk of the moon all at once. That's something that the Apollo astronauts really didn't get. You know, they were close enough that, you know, it's kind of like flying over the Earth in an airplane, right? You don't see the whole globe, right? And you certainly don't see the whole globe even from the International Space Station, right? Because you're so close. So they're going to get a global perspective of our moon,
okay.
Which is going to be really unique.
And part of your responsibility is to sort of ask them to look for specific signs that will allow you to know something about the topology of the moon. That's your role in a sense, right?
Absolutely. That's collectively what the science team is doing. And we actually started that process last night. We started refining the plan that we've already sort of had in place after months and months of work. And we're going to continue to do that today and hopefully give them an updated plan that they'll then execute, and they'll give us great science.
Lovely. Jose, thank you so much. As usual, it's great to hear you. And take care, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Well, thanks for having me, Keith.